I don't know which is harder. Standing before you as I have at times like this over the last 11 months to say that it was not my privilege to know the person very well, or to stand before you as I do today and to say that in just a year's time it was a privilege to have gotten to know a person as well as I did when we're about to have their funeral. Agnes and Archie introduced themselves to me downstairs one Sunday morning when I was your interim in the gathering. And with big smiles on their faces, I first was trying to understand why such a lovely, seemingly very traditional-minded couple, what they were doing in the gathering in the first place, our contemporary worship service. They smiled and said, "Well, we are here because as members of the worship committee, Mark has asked us to come down and just to listen to this worship service and give him some thoughts." Afterwards, I believe it was Agnes who came to me before her husband did. And Agnes had nothing but rave reviews for everything that happened downstairs that morning, especially the sermon. So obviously, she became one of my greatest fans from the very first day. And you know, she was always that way. In the last weeks of her life, I would go to her hospital room, and even if she was having a bad day, she at least put on a smile for a few moments and acted like she was glad to see her pastor. And she had a habit. Some of you who know her well know this habit, I'm sure, from your own experience. But Agnes would first of all grab my hand and hold it for a few moments while we talked. She would always say, "Come close to the bed," no matter who was there, even the day her doctor was there. It seemed to me that it was more important to her that I was close by rather than her physician. She asked me to come by, and she would hold my hand, and in just a few moments, somehow, it would go from her hand holding mine to her hand working its way up the side of my arm. And she would grab my shirt, usually right about this point, and I would be standing beside her bed, and she would just have her hand, and she would go back and forth, up and down my arm, stroking very, very compassionately, very lovingly, as if to say, "I am so glad that you're here." And you know, Sam Sanders, our minister to senior adults, had a way of saying it and summing it up, I think, perfectly in staff meetings, when he would look at us and say, "If you're ever having a bad day, just go see Agnes, because she can make you feel better." And that was exactly the way it was, even while she was in the hospital. You always felt like you had probably not done her very much good in your visit, but you were blessed from having had the privilege of going to visit her. That was Agnes Cleaver, and I'm going to miss her. It was a privilege to get to know her. It was a privilege to always see her smiling. It was a privilege to be just around her because somehow she always made you feel good. And we're going to miss her very much. Her family gathered from so many places today. Many of you who are here know all of them, but some of you may not. So let me call out their names for you today. Agnes Wall Cleaver is survived first by her husband, Archie, by her daughter, Barbara Mitchell, by her son, Verlin Cleaver, by her son, Ronald Cleaver, and by her daughter, Cherry Montgomery, by a sister, Mary Weens, and 8 grandchildren, Emily, Angela, Peter, Jeremy, Matthew, Landon, Bradley, and Michael. I must say that in some ways I feel like I know you better than you know me, because every time I came into your grandmother's room in these last few weeks, she would always say, after stroking my arm several moments, "Pastor, go over to the ledge in the window and bring me that picture. And bring me the one that's taped up to the curtain. And bring me that envelope. There's a stack of envelopes, and I believe on the 3rd envelope from the top, you'll find an envelope from one of," and she would name the grandchild. And she would ask me to read that out loud to her again, and she would have such a peaceful look on her face. And she would tell me the stories of her miracle granddaughter, and she would tell me the stories of the grandson that she'd not seen for many, many years, but was so glad to be able to be reconnected with in these last few weeks. She loved her family greatly, and you can tell that, and you can hear that from some of the comments that I am going to read this afternoon. Cherry has done a beautiful job of putting together many of the family's thoughts, and I do want to take time to read this. I believe they speak so eloquently. "As a young woman, friends often referred to my mother as the one who always smiles. Her optimism spilled over into everything she did. She found no need, and neither would it occur to her to be admired. It was sheer joy for her to praise others for work well done. Whether it was Mark in the choir, a solo, or a sermon she appreciated, she took the time to compliment others individually. Often she would call me to repeat Sunday's sermon. Mother was the eternal optimist. Anything that she had her strong mind and will set upon could and would be accomplished. She often had the curious desire to rearrange furniture. It was amazing and often confusing for Dad to wake up in the morning and find entire rooms reversed or switched around. Family members often kidded Mom that when she got to heaven one day, she would rearrange the throne room and God would have to ask, "Agnes, where is my footstool?" Mother usually understood the value of priorities in her life. Her service to Christ came first. Next, her greatest mission was to her own family and responsibilities in the home. She worked tirelessly to create her home. She made it a peaceful, happy place. Mother never slept late. She would often be awake at 4 in the morning, sewing or baking and busy around working around the house. She loved to work. She often remarked, "Isn't it fun to clean house?" Her hands were so beautiful. Also, she loved to play games with her children. She collected the games, keeping in mind which would be best during long trips with her grandchildren. Even the youngest child felt that he could challenge and even beat Grandmommy at dominoes. And tradition was important to Mother. Baking sugar cookies with the grandchildren at Christmas time was one of her favorite activities. She knew what family meals and celebrations, and she knew that they kept us close. She loved to celebrate birthdays and Christmas. When there were many birthdays in one month, she would plan one day, bake a big cake, and put everyone's name on it. Included with this was dinner served to her family on the finest china, always with home-baked bread. She scolded us when we tried to snatch the warm bread before a blessing. She enjoyed the often noisy conversation around the table. She always laughed and mused the most about her grandchildren's stories and we were often too busy visiting and enjoying each other to notice that Mother was always the last to sit down and the first to get up to clean. Often she only ate part of her dinner, which had grown cold. It was her desire to serve others first, and she took pleasure in seeing us having a good time. Close relationships and a tight family bond meant a lot to Mother. When her own mother passed away, she sought out and adopted a grandmother for her children. This dear woman, Elizabeth Wall, became a precious new member of our family. Mother serves as a beautiful example to her children. Faithful, humble, compassionate, and kind, her life will be an ever-present reminder of how to live our lives before God. We thank Him for blessing us with this precious life. There were several occasions when I would go to the hospital and see Agnes. And nurses would come in the room to take care of changing an IV or doing something to administer care. And Agnes always asked how they were doing, asked what kind of day they were having, and then would usually say, "Pastor, isn't she a beautiful nurse?" That was just her spirit. She had the gift of encouragement. One of our members who happens to be a physician at that hospital, Dr. Donna Scudder, wrote this poem for Agnes. One dark day she knew, not feeling right, no appetite, stomach bloated, not now, anniversary soon, grandson, things to do. The body grew weak and her soul peered out from sunken eyes and gaunt face. But truth stood firm, the soul on the rock. The body grew weaker, but the soul became busy, crying, praying, mending fences, loving, forgiving, pulling the strings of family ties closer, striving others' souls to greatness, things that she had always done, but now more intently with purpose and with finality. Until one day the soul's work was done. The body ceased holding on, and her soul arose, transforming itself into total beauty, ceasing its labors, basking in reward, forever living in the light of God. Beautiful words from one who understands the physical separation of body and soul. And if you had the opportunity of visiting with Agnes in those last days, you saw it yourself. I remember the day that as I was talking to her in her room, she was anticipating more family members coming into town for visit. And she wanted to make sure that her pastor understood some sequence and understood something about family history. And Agnes would pause momentarily, and she, you could tell that her mind was trying to bring back details. And she would look at me, and she would smile, and she would say, "This is making it so hard, this disease." And then she explained it to me, taking care that I, as her pastor, would understand. She said, "Pastor, it's as if my mind is now a lazy Susan, and it spins sometimes faster than I want it to, sometimes slower. And I can't always find exactly what I'm looking for to bring off and to show. But I'll get it in just a moment if you've got just a few minutes of your time." Well, Agnes in those last days talked about several other issues with me. And one of the things that was so, so important to Agnes, we talked about her funeral. We talked about the day that we would commit her body to the ground and that we would share words of encouragement. And I love the order in which Agnes and Archie have put this day together. To meet with family alone at the cemetery early in the morning and to commit the body in the way that we've seen done time and time again. And then to enter into this place of worship, a place that was always marked by their celebration of the soul, to have the opportunity of a final celebration as we remember Agnes. And in the celebration, Agnes wanted me to be very careful to make this part of the day not only marked by celebration, but marked by the hope that she had in her heart during those difficult times in the last 2 weeks. She wanted this to be very evangelistic. In fact, as this family has put together some other notes, they have written down something that Agnes said to me. "I prayed and prayed that if my death would bring my children closer to Christ, then Lord, bring it on," and He did. She would say to me, "Pastor, I don't understand this illness, but if God can use this, if God can bring someone into the family, then Pastor, make my service as evangelistic as you can." A few other words the family brings before I turn to God's Word. She was dying, and we were reassured from the verse of Psalms 116:15, "Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints." This we repeated aloud to Mom. She was conscious and aware until the end. Her eyes were loving upon Dad as she drew her last breath. When she was told that she had a terminal illness, she took every opportunity to witness to her doctors and nurses. Even in her weakest state, 2.5 days before death, she testified, "I am assured of my salvation. I know I am saved. I am at peace." And this was her resolve to the end. She prayed, "Lord, I commit my body into Your hands." Passage of Scripture that I would like to read is one that I believe Agnes would have selected. I don't know that this was her life verse, but I think her testimony would point to this passage, don't you? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There's so many passages of Scripture that I feel I could turn to today. Agnes was a Proverbs 31 woman. We could think of her life and think of the wonderful words of promise that Jesus gives His disciples in the 14th chapter of John. "I've gone to prepare a place for you." All that's true. But Agnes's last words to us would be words of good news. Words that would remind us that God has been a gracious and a generous and an extravagant giver. And that when He saw us at our worst moment, that God gave the very best that He had, His Son Jesus. And He made salvation available to us on the clearest of terms. That if we'd accept Him, if we'd trust Him, if we would give Him control of our life, if we would ask Jesus to forgive us for living our life our way, and He would promise to do so. As I shared around the graveside this morning, if Agnes could say one word to us today, to her church family, she would just simply say words of encouragement. It's worth it. You can't believe how beautiful heaven is. Hang in there. Don't despair. Don't be discouraged. It's worth it. And in the same way, if there was one word that Agnes could say to those family members or friends who may not know Christ personally, she would underscore this plea. Don't miss it. Be there. Whatever you've done, know that Christ will forgive. However far away you may think you are, know that you're never so far away from God that you can't come home. When I think about what God is like, I have to think about what Jesus was like. Because Jesus paints a picture for the love of God. And when I think about what Jesus is like, in all honesty, I've just got to think about what Agnes was like. Always faithful, always hopeful, always enduring, always trying to bring comfort and encouragement to someone else, always loving, always wanting her family to have what she had. We'll miss her. But we miss her with the assurance that if we know Christ, then we'll see Agnes again. We'll miss her, but we'll keep going because we'll know that the same Lord who comforted her in her moment of deepest darkness pain is still there available to comfort and encourage each one of us as well. We'll keep going because of a heritage of faith that was hers and Archie's, that was passed down to their children, passed on to their grandchildren, to nieces, nephews, others in the family, friends. We'll know that this heritage of faith says it's worth it. Let's pray together. Our Father, we're thankful today that as we stand in this place, we don't stand with questions of curiosity, wondering whatever happened. But Father, we stand on the solid rock of genuine faith, bedrock faith, a faith that Agnes had in her heart, a faith that did not deny Christ, and a faith that even during the difficult days of her life in these last few moments was a faith that sustained her. You were merciful, you were kind, you were gracious, and just as you gave her a living grace, you also gave her grace to die. And Father, today we're thankful that according to Scripture, she's in your presence. And Father, you've made the salvation that Agnes knew so simple and so available to each of us. And Father, sometimes it's moments like this that we look and we recognize that the faith that someone had is a faith that we need in our life as well. And so, Father, should there be anyone here today that doesn't know Christ in a personal manner, and Father, they could turn to you, and they would find that you're a God whose arms are stretched open wide, a God who stands ready to receive, a God who's preparing a place for Agnes, and once that place was prepared and ready, came and received her, would be the same God who will come and receive us one day if we put our faith and our trust in you. God, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know Christ, their prayer might be something like this. Dear God, thank you for the faith that dwelt in Agnes Cleaver. And thank you for letting her model her faith so clearly. And thank you for the love that Jesus had for her, that he died on the cross to save her from her sin. And God, I recognize right now that it's that same faith that I can have. Jesus died for my sin, and God, right now I'm willing to cling to it. I'm willing to ask Jesus to come into my heart. Father, if Agnes's death could bring one into the family of God, then she would willingly lay it down. And so, Father, we give you praise for what you're going to do. Now comfort and encourage and enthuse by your Spirit, and inspire this family in ways that they need it most today. I pray for this church family as we seek to put our arms around Archie in a very special way. Help us know how to do that, and help us to do it well. And we'll pray this prayer, and we'll pray it remembering the words of Jesus, who taught us to pray this way.